Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
How are we all doing on this fine Wednesday in the middle of February? Evan and Tiki on The Fan. There is plenty to discuss today. We'll get into the Yankees. We'll get into football. The Jets may have a perfect backup quarterback target. We'll address as the show rolls on. But I am getting sick and tired of this. I've had it up to here with some of the things that have been said on this radio station and some of the things that have been uttered on social media about my baseball team, the New York Mets. And I'm getting sick of it, and I want to address it today full head, full head on, as they say. Two things can be true at the same time. All right, I think a lot of Met fans, rightfully so, weren't pleased with this offseason. They weren't excited by this offseason. They looked at this offseason as a disappointment. That can be true, along with the statement that the New York Mets this season are actually going to be good. And I think they are going to be good.
Well, what do you mean by good?
Make the playoffs.
I mean, they should make the playoffs.
That's not the way they're talked about around here. They're talked around here like they're a loser team that's going to lose 90 games, that has no chance to make it, that this season is going to be a just colossal waste of time. And by the way, making the playoffs, even in baseball today where there's an extra wild card team, is still something that as a Met fan is very exciting because we don't make the playoffs a lot. But I look at this team and I can do two things at once. I can say, hey, I wish they did more. Mm-hmm. Hey, I wish they added a bat. Hey, I wish they added Jordan Montgomery. I stand by all that. But then I look at the roster as we get closer to the first spring training game and closer to opening day. And I'm not doing this to be optimistic. I'm not doing this because I want to be excited for a baseball season. I've been around here a long time watching this team. And there have been many off seasons and many spring trainings in which I say, boy, we're going to suck this year. Boy, this is going to be a disaster this year. I don't feel that way about 2024. So to all the Met fans out there, and to the non-Met fans, and I get it, you want to crap all over the Mets, that's fine. But to my fellow Met fan, listen. We aren't that bad. This is not 2011 or 2012 or 2002 or 1992 or 1993 or 2013 or 2014 or 2017. Like, I think this baseball team is a good team. And you want me to be specific? Mid to high 80s and they're in the postseason.
Right, so what made you, or I guess I was going to say wake up, but I guess it probably was last night because you don't sleep. You were thinking about this and you came in today and decided to declare that the Mets are going to be good when, of course, they should be good. They're spending $283 million on payroll this season.
A lot of that's dead money and you know it.
Of course it is, but you know what I mean. Like they spend money. Right, and they have spent money, and they have good players. I think the challenge with the Mets coming into this season is that the expectation going into last season was enormous.
This isn't and last season.
I know. Hold on. Going into last season, it was two seasons ago. It was, we'll see. Steve Cohen's trying to make this thing work. Let's see what happens. And then you go and you win 101 games. Mm-hmm. And then coming into last season, it was – all right, all we got to do is grow from here. And kind of like with the Yankees, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong, and you had a terrible year, sub 500, and it just felt like, oh, got to get rid of everybody. Let's restart this thing, this philosophy that Steve Cohen wants to, you know, buy veteran pitching. Let's trust the guys who have done it before, and that'll get us to the postseason. When they get there, they're going to excel. Like, it was just a bad plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to trust the plan.
I don't think it was a bad plan at all, by the way.
Well,
No, it didn't work. That doesn't mean it was a bad plan.
Well, if something doesn't work, it's a bad plan.
No, that's not really true. Because here's why you're wrong about that. Because they went in with the approach of, let's go short term on starting pitching. Let's try to win in the short term with veteran arms.
Fine, and but it not for 40-year-olds.
Hold on a second. It worked in year one. It didn't work in year two. And then they cashed out by trading those veteran arms away and collecting two prospects who were in the top 100.
And probably a
third in Ryan Clifford.
So I get it.
I'll let you continue. I disagree with the idea that the philosophy was wrong. It just didn't work.
It was a bad philosophy to trust 40-year-olds to be able to. Right. And Verlander was hurt before the season
Fair
even started.
Enough, I disagree.
Right? It was all right, whatever. We can agree to disagree. It doesn't matter. They didn't win. They were below 500.
It was 175 games.
My point is, we had all this belief in what Steve Cohen was going to do. And then 2 years ago, it was like, holy crap, this is going to work.
Okay.
This is amazing. You got Buck Showalter. He's going to finally win a championship. And we got the perfect situation for him. Veteran team. He doesn't have to micromanage the little things, how to put your diapers on correctly. It was, we have a veteran squad. We can trust them. And the problem is, health fell apart, and it exposed the validity of that plan.
Okay.
And so instead of running it back again in some capacity, everybody's gone. Epler's gone. The two starting, the 43-year-old pitchers are gone. You're bringing up the young guys, and let's bring in David Stearns, mm-hmm. who's going to recreate the plan. But I don't feel like we even know what the plan is.
No, I feel
I hear your optimism, mm-hmm. but we don't know. We know what the short-term plan is. We don't know what's going to happen with Pete Alonso. We don't know if Vientos is going to play well. We don't know what Brett Beatty's issue is. We don't know. I hope Francisco Alvarez continues to take the steps. He didn't slash very well last year, but he was pretty damn exciting,
mm-hmm.
right? There are so many still questions here. While it's easy to feel optimistic, it's also very easy to feel,
okay.
I'm not sure.
I'll tell you guys why you should feel decent about this team. Number one, you brought up last year, and I think this is the biggest problem we have. We keep thinking about the disappointment of last year. Last year has nothing to do with this year anymore. The Mets were coming off of a year in 2022 where they did something I had never seen in my lifetime. They won 100 games.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. It was incredible. Forget about what happened in the playoffs and the way they choked down the stretch of the year. They had arguably one of the great regular seasons of my lifetime. And it brought expectations up for last year. Last year was a disaster. And it was a disaster for a myriad of reasons. It was a disaster because their starting pitching mm-hmm. couldn't stay healthy and wasn't very good. It was a disaster because their closer got hurt before the regular season started. It was a disaster because the depth starters who pitched so well in 22 stunk in 23. They were a disaster because Starling Marte and Jeff McNeil, who were so good the previous year, were terrible in 2023. It was a disaster because a lot of the young players they relied on last year did not perform.
Now, what's changed?
I'll lay it out for you.
Okay.
Number one, let me start with this lineup. I think this lineup features three guys who, right off the top, I know they're going to produce in Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, and Brandon Nimmo. And of course, tell me when I'm telling lies.
Nope.
Those three guys are incredibly reliable.
I cannot complain or cannot combat you on that.
Well, thank you. So right off the top, I got a legitimate 2-3 hitter or 2-4 hitter, depending on how you want to line it up, and a leadoff hitter that I feel damn good about.
Right, but you had that last
Hold
year,
on.
Too.
I'm just starting off with why I have confidence. There's a lot of reasons.
Okay, go ahead.
It's not like I'm going in with 100 questions. I'm going in with 50 questions. Those three guys are in questions. You agree with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two, Jeff McNeil was so freaking awful for the first 4 months last year. Now, he finished the season strong, which in a weird way is like kind of good because it gives you confidence that maybe he can build off that. But here's what I'm confident about. Jeff McNeil, we've seen a lot of good of Jeff. We've seen a lot of bad of Jeff. I am confident that we will probably see a closer depiction of batting title McNeil than crappy McNeil.
But what gives you that indication?
Because I've seen more of good McNeil throughout his Met career than I've seen of bad McNeil. And to your point, he finished last year strong. So I got kind of like that glimpse of what Jeff McNeil can be. So now all of a sudden I got four guys in my lineup that I'm starting to feel pretty good about. Number five, let me get to Starling Marte, who I think is as important as anybody into the success of the 2024 New York Mets. Starling Marte was coming off a groin injury that clearly derailed his season.
Yeah.
Derailed it. Now, he is a year older, so is there a question around Starling Marte? Of course there is. But I can't imagine he'll be worse than what he was last year. I can't.
Just got to be available. No, don't be worse. Just be available.
I agree.
And you'll be better.
And so far, so good. It is spring training. A lot can happen. He's a year older. But I would believe that I have a better chance of getting a closer depiction of 22 than I get 23. And if I get the 2022 Starling Marte, all of a sudden now, I got five guys in this Met lineup that I'm looking at saying, whoa, this is pretty good. Let me continue on. Francisco Alvarez. Met fans, let's not forget that if you had to pick your best moment of 2023, your best story of 2023, it was the emergence of Francisco Alvarez. Mm-hmm. Now, he was streaky. He was inconsistent. But how many big home runs did this guy hit? Now he's got a full spring training. Now he's the everyday catcher. There's a chance Francisco Alvarez could be the guy we've been waiting for in terms of supplying protection for Pete Alonso. He's coming off what was a pretty good rookie season. I wouldn't put it in the rafters as a Hall of Fame rookie season, but it wasn't bad. Yeah. That's number six. Let me continue on. The Mets are now loaded with, forget what they tell you, because I don't give a rat's ass what they tell me. I care how guys are viewed around baseball. When Baseball America comes out with their top prospects, when MLB.com comes out with their top prospects, guess who's on that list?
Who?
A few guys that could be in the major leagues before this season is done. Jet Williams, Drew Gilbert, those Luis Angel Acuna.
Mike Vassell.
Those are three. I'm not even high on him yet. Those
Come
are
on. Three. It's a UVA guy. That's the only one I know.
I'll get to the pitching later because that's another story. They've got three legitimate.
Actually, we should probably get to the pitching right now, Evan, because there's a report coming from spring trading. Yeah, Kodai Senga is experiencing a bit of arm fatigue. He didn't work out today. The Mets should have more information in the coming days. Continue.
All right, I take back everything I just said was screwed. The season's over now.
Just like that?
No, I'm just kidding.
That's the only detail that they give? That's it? Wow.
That's a great start.
Jeez.
All right,
I'll
address the pitching in a second. But they've got three position players who are top 100 prospects who could impact this team this season. So I think this Met lineup, which was damn good in 2022, has a chance to be even better in 2024.
Right. So I'm going to stop you before you keep going. Then I'll let you continue. So the problem with the guys that you're identifying at the back end of that list, not the top, the back end of that list, the Jeff McNeils and the Starling Martes, those question marks are still going to sit in our minds until we see otherwise. You can't, because you can't trust that they're going to be the player that they were when they were 25 years old.
So I have to assume they're going to suck? Because based on your logic and other people's logic, if you think the Mets are going to be bad, I just have to assume, well, they're going to stink.
I'm not saying they're going to stink. But until they're closer to what we expect them to be, you can't bank on that. You can't take that to cash this check. We know this one's going to be good. And then you talk about the prospects. You're saying the same thing that we said about Beatty and Vientos and all these other young players that we thought were going to come
up. They didn't hit last year.
They didn't. So what makes you think that these young prospects that are behind them, younger than them, are going to come up and
do it? What makes you think and what makes you assume, and maybe it's the negativity of a disappointing offseason, what makes you assume that they won't?
I just think
why are you optimistic about that? I can throw it right back at you and say, well, why do you assume they won't be here?
There are certain players like Ronald Acuna who were just like, man, this dude is he's the man. Juan Soto, he is the man. Mike Trout back in his day, he is the man. Mm-hmm. You know at 20 or whatever, when they come up, they're going to be productive.
Not always.
But those guys you did.
Okay, well, they're not Mike Trout prospects, but they're still pretty damn big prospects who could impact this team this year.
But a lot of prospects struggle when they get here.
Okay.
And to your point, to take what you just said and apply it to what I'm talking about, none of those Jet Williams and Luis Angel Acuna, none of those guys are Mike Trout level. None of those guys are Bryce Harper level.
They don't have to be.
Okay, but Bryce Harper and Mike Trout, they came to the major leagues when they were young and they dominated.
I'm not saying Jet Williams is going to be Mike Trout. What I'm saying is, part of the reason why I have more optimism than everybody else around here, apparently, and I don't think I'm being delusional. I didn't say they're going to win the World Series and win 100 games. I said I think they're a playoff team. I think they'll be in the high 80s, mid-80s. And I think, unfortunately, because of the negativity of the offseason and because of the disappointment of last year,
that's the big
everyone just follows suit in terms of they're going to be bad. I don't think they're going to be bad. I think this lineup has a chance to be dynamic because I just laid out to you five or six guys who I feel damn good about as veteran players that will produce for me. I'm now bringing up the younger players that aren't going to even be there on opening day, yeah, but could impact winning in May and June and July. This lineup was a disappointment last year. It's got a chance to be really good this year. I think this lineup has a chance to score more runs than they did in 2022 when they won 101 games. And a part of that are the guys in the lineup that have proven it. And the other part is they've got real prospects and real horses on the way up. Now, does Brett Beatty need to prove a lot this season? Yes. Same with Mark Vientos? Absolutely. But here's one thing I learned. And I've learned this through Aaron Judge. I've learned this through Josh Young. Who's Josh Young? I'll bring him up a lot more later. He was the third baseman of the Texas Rangers. Pretty good as they won the World Series. He wasn't very good a year earlier. To your point, guys don't automatically come up and perform.
Right.
So I'll give you that. I'm not telling you Drew Gilbert's going to come up here and be a star. But I also can't assume that because of a bad full season from Brett Beatty, well, he stinks. He's terrible. There's no chance he can perform. Why? Have we not seen young players in their second year put it all together?
Of course we have.
So Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos, yeah, there's a lot on them. No doubt about it. They have to perform.
All I'm saying is that for the Met fan, they are in a clear wait and see. It is not a, I'm just going to believe that all these things are going to happen. It is wait and see. For a lot of
no, they're fans. Not. They're not waiting and seeing. They're saying they suck and they're not going to be any good this season. That's yeah. what I've heard a lot about, and I'm here to dispel that. But I'm here to tell you that stop listening to that and stop assuming that because you're mad about this offseason and mad about last year. Guess what? I'm mad about last year, and I'm even disappointed with this offseason. But you can be disappointed with the offseason and still look at the roster and say, wow, they may actually be better than people realize. Like, those two things could occur. And by the way, here's another huge factor that I think is being minimized. His name is Edwin Diaz. He only happens to be the best closer in the sport. He wasn't there last year. That makes a big difference. This
huge
bullpen
difference.
Has a chance to be really good. In fact, I think this bullpen's got more talent on paper than the Yankee bullpen. And we just all assume, well, Brian Cashman always figures out the Yankee bullpen. I'm sure it'll be fine. So I see a bullpen that has a chance to be real good. Yeah, there's some questions in it, but you know who's not a question? The best closer in baseball. Mm. Now, let me get to the rotation, because I totally understand why that's the thing that would make you say, but yes. What about this? I get it. The Met rotation features a lot of questions this year. I trust Kodai Senga, despite this report, that he's got some soreness. Obviously, if Kodai Senga misses an extended period of time, my confidence will take a major hit.
Right.
Just like any team's confidence will take a major hit if your ace was going to miss time. But I look at the rest of the rotation, and here's what I see. I see Jose Quintana, who up until last year's injury is
issue.
One of the more
right.
reliable pitchers in baseball.
But the operative word is he has an injury issue right now.
Oh, no. He doesn't.
He had one last year.
Okay.
And he hasn't pitched yet, so we don't know.
No. I'm looking at his track record. You want to talk about track records? Does he not have a track record?
Of course he does.
Okay. Adrian Hauser also has a track record. He is a fine back-of-the-rotation arm. He's not Shane Bieber. He's not Gerrit Cole. But guess what? You don't need every pitcher in your rotation to be awesome. You need them to be competent. You need them to be solid. I think Adrian Hauser can be solid. I think Sean Manaea could be solid. I think what's going to be really important, those depth guys that failed the Mets in 23 but helped them in 2022, specifically Tyler McGill, David Peterson's out till July,
right.
Jose Buto, Joey Lucchesi, yeah, they got to be okay.
Yeah.
They don't need to be aces. They need to be okay. And if they're okay to go along with a lineup that I do feel good about and a bullpen that I do feel good about, again, tell me why it's crazy to think that can't win 87 games and make the playoffs.
Because your number two or three pitcher is Luis Severino, who you're just hoping comes back to form.
Now, I haven't even mentioned him yet, by the way.
I know you didn't. But
I'll get to him.
So you're talking about the bullpen, and you're talking about Edwin Diaz, and I get his impact. But you realize that the Mets were fourth fewest in blown saves last year?
Yeah.
Right? They didn't, their bullpen wasn't as bad as it seemed.
I never said it was bad, but it's a misnomer to think it was great because David Robertson was really good for a few months.
Yeah.
The bullpen changes when you have Edwin Diaz.
Of course it does.
It makes everyone better. And I assume Mendoza will use him the way Buck used him, where you can use him in high leverage spots in the eighth inning or the ninth inning, or dare I say a big out in the seventh inning. That is a weapon that no team in this sport has outside of the Houston Astros. You don't have it as a Yankee fan.
No.
The Braves, no one has it. And so I don't want to minimize that. I think the Met bullpen can be a strength along with this lineup. So we could crap all over the rotation all day. I get it. They're going to need guys to be solid and average, but that's all I'm needing. They don't need five Cy Young Award winners just because last year we thought they had a few. And just because a year before they had a few. The problem we're having is I don't think everyone's being intellectually honest. I think everyone's basing it on a disappointing offseason and a disastrous regular season a year before. They're not basing it on what's on the roster. I'm looking at this roster, and I'll tell you something else. This is where you can't dispute it. All you baseball geeks out there. Did the Texas Rangers, coming into last year, have that better of a roster?
No.
Oh.
No.
How'd they do?
Well, I mean, they did phenomenal.
I'm sorry, what'd they do?
They were phenomenal.
Did they win the World Series?
Of course they did.
And oh, by the way, I'll tell you something else about the Texas Rangers.
But they had a really important... They had a really good offseason last year, and they did right at the
did
trade
they?
Deadline.
Because I heard they added a Cy Young Award winner in Jacob DeGrom, who barely pitched. Was that really a great offseason?
Well, in the theory, they did.
No, I'll tell you what the Texas Rangers did. The Texas Rangers developed young players. Josh Young developed... Evan Carter developed. He wasn't even a thought going into the start of the season. And you know what else they did? And this is going to be really important. And this is on David Stearns. Do you know that half of their playoff rotation was acquired before July 31st?
Mm.
Jordan Montgomery wasn't on the Texas Rangers to start the year. Max Scherzer, he stinks, wasn't on the rotation to start the year. And the Texas Rangers in 2022 won how many games? I'll help everybody out. They won 65 games. 65. And then they won 90-plus. And when Jacob DeGrom went to Texas, a lot of the marks that wanted to defend everything the Mets did mocked Jacob DeGrom. They said, oh, I went to a loser franchise. He won't win anything. So a part of this is, yeah, I want to be hopeful going into a season, but I also want to be honest. And I don't want to be blinded by an offseason that's disappointed most people. I don't disagree with you. I would have done more. Big Mac's on the other side of the glass. He said something a lot for the last few weeks I agree with. They should sign Jordan Montgomery. He's right. I wish they did sign Jordan Montgomery. I've been saying that for months, too. I wish they added a bat. Would they be better if they did all that stuff? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean they stink.
No.
And I am sick and tired of hearing from my fellow Met fans and from people on this radio station and from everyone, they're bad. I don't think they're bad.
I think,
and you want to say I'm delusional? Fine, I'm a delusional hack.
They're not bad. Their expectation is lowered. That's what Met fans are gearing themselves up for, a lowered expectation. Part of it is because of the lack of things that they did in this offseason, but it's also because it's very clear that David Stearns is waiting and seeing. He is in a clear, let's holding pattern. We're going to play this thing out, and then if we're competing, we're going to make some moves at the deadline. If not, we'll just wait and get to the postseason and or the offseason and figure out what we're doing with Pete Alonso's of the world or whatever other moves we need to make. This is an evaluation year for me. That's what it feels like for David Stearns. If I was evaluating what
you
he's
can
done
call
so far.
It whatever you want, here's what I call it. I call it a year where the Mets can make the playoffs. And I've been on this earth for many, many years. More times than not, Tiki, I don't go into February 21st saying this is a year we can make
last
the playoffs.
Last year you did.
You're falling into the trap.
2 years ago you
this
did.
This isn't last year.
But 2 years ago you did.
Okay. This isn't the last 2 years. You want to compare it to 2012 and how I felt then?
No.
Or 2011?
That was a decade plus ago. Who cares? It's not informative.
But that's my point. My point is, stop thinking about last year. Look at Major League Baseball. Look at the National League.
I'm not looking at this roster.
Look who's on the team. And then tell me again they can't win 85 games.
I'm just telling you why the Met fan, and I'm not even a Met fan, has lowered his expectation. Because going into last year, it was as high as could be. This year, it's not even close to that.
Yeah, but
that's what they're talking about.
Are my expectations lower? I didn't say they're winning the World Series. I said they're a playoff team.
Of course.
So I've got lower expectations, but I can still say I think they're a good team.
Yeah.
I can still fight back from 88 wins? Oh, yeah.
88 wins and a wild card.
Yes.
Behind the Braves and the Phillies and and sneaking in.
Yes.
And then hoping beyond hope that something good happens in the postseason.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
That's what I think they are.
Nothing.
And I'm getting tired of this. It's only February 21st, and the Mets are talked about like they're the 1993 Mets. They're talked about as they're the 04 Mets. They're talked about as the 2012 Mets. Let me make this clear. I've seen all the crap over the last 35 years as a Met fan. I've seen a lot of it. This team ain't that. We'll get to your calls coming up, 877-337-6666. And why my comparison to the Texas Rangers is a lot more accurate than you think. We've used a lot of Diamondbacks recently. It ain't the Diamondbacks. It's actually the Rangers. We'll explain why. Live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's the other reason why I believe. I believe, damn it, because of last year. Because of who was in the World Series. And I don't mean the Arizona Diamondbacks, Tiki.
Yeah, I know.
The Texas Rangers were a big market spender a year earlier when they signed Marcus Semien and they signed Corey Seager. And they built this core partially through free agency. And they obviously continued it last year, too, by adding Nate Eovaldi and adding DeGrom. They were coming off a 94-loss season. They were coming off a year in which their core, if you will, was Corey Seager and Marcus Semien and Nathaniel Lowe and Adolis Garcia. And coming into last year, I would put my core up against that core. I think the Met core is better. And not only that, they had a young third baseman named Josh Jung, who when he had a chance to play in 2022, wasn't very good. And then what happened in 2023? He was damn good. And I'll give you another comparison that fits. On opening day last year, the Texas Rangers had a designated hitter. And their designated hitter is a journeyman. He's a guy who's bounced around baseball. His name is Brad Miller. Kind of similar to the way we view the Met DH spot now. And then guess what happened as time evolved? He wasn't the DH anymore. And they called up a prospect named Evan Carter. Not the next Mike Trout. Not the next Bryce Harper. And Evan Carter was batting third in the playoffs for the Texas Rangers. And they made additions at the trade deadline. They went out and got Max Scherzer.
Are you confident?
They went out and got Jordan Montgomery.
Are you confident all that's going to happen for the Mets?
I think that all of that that I just described is not that far off from what the Mets are. Like, obviously, yes, Tiki, the Mets are going to need things to go right for them. Just like the Yankees are going to need things to go right for them.
Yeah.
But I don't think, what I mean by those old years, and I know when you hear that, you're like, why would you bring up 2012?
Right, I don't even care.
I want to tell you why, and it'll make sense. Because there have been seasons in which you have to really talk yourself into why you're going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are things I've got to talk myself into with the 2024 New York Mets, don't get me wrong. But I feel like I have to talk myself into less stuff than I have in the past. Because I've got good players on this team. And I think that's being forgotten.
Yeah, I mean, you can't dispute the level of player that the Met has. Even the prospects, the ones that didn't play well a year ago, they're still good players. It's just a matter of figuring out how to play on this level. And so it's one thing to be optimistic. It's another to think that all of a sudden you're a playoff team and you can go far. And for most Met fans, they just don't believe it yet because of all the expectation for the last couple of years. Right, you get to the postseason, you're supposed to do well, you get bounced by the Padres. Last season, it was a complete and utter disaster where it felt like your two highest paid players in the history of the organization are just running away as fast as possible, one of whom went and won a championship, even though he didn't really do anything. But it doesn't feel the same as this like ramp up that Steve Cohen had them going on by spending money and putting themselves in contention.
Because,
and so now it just feels like, all right, we got David Stearns. Yeah, we like this guy, I think, but we have no idea what his plan is.
But you're explaining everything that's wrong. And I appreciate you doing
it. But I'm just telling you why the Met fan feels the way that
they
feel.
They're looking at the wrong things. Like, you can't base what you think a team is going to be based on how you feel about the offseason. And you know what taught me that lesson? 2015. I'll never forget it. Late in the 2014 season, it was another lost season for the Mets. I was sitting with my now wife, and I looked at her and said, I think this team's going to be good next year. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, what is that based on? And I said, I just feel the young coming. I feel the young players coming. You're starting to see, like, those signs of that.
Right.
And if they can go out and make good additions during the offseason, I'll feel even better. They didn't do that offseason. Literally, they added Michael Kadire. You guys remember that, Met fans? They did nothing. They added Michael Kadire. And I remember going into that season saying, I still feel good, even though I'm really disappointed that they should have done more.
Right.
Those two things can work together.
And so that's what you feel right now? That they should have done more?
Because yes.
Clearly they should have,
I
right?
think they should have done, yeah.
Should have done more. They didn't, but they had good players.
Yes.
But they have good players like they did in 2015.
I can see the path to 88 wins.
All right.
And 88 wins gets you to the postseason. And yeah, as we saw last year, maybe things go right come October once you're there. But I think the mistake we're making is stop using the Diamondbacks as the example. I've been doing that. It's not them. It's the Rangers. They're the team we should use as an example because they're the high-spending team whose core was pretty good going into last year coming off a 68-win season. They were the team that needed the youth additions and performances of Young and Carter to put them over the top. They're the team that went from 68 wins to 90 wins. They're the team that won the World Series last year. And when I look at the Rangers and I look at my team, I got to tell you, I don't think it's that different. In fact, there are some areas where I think the Mets are better.
All right.
I'm just saying.
You got to see.
Now let's hear from the Met fan. First of all, Loogie, I have no idea what this guy thinks.
So a part of me thinks that headband you're wearing right now is a little too tight here, Evan, because I hear you on the fact that the expectations are very low.
It looks good, though.
It looks great.
Thank you.
The expectations are low for a reason. The offseason, let's be honest, has been a fart and a win. It's not been very good. They've signed basically 45 guys to a one-year contract. I, for one, am not excited, but I'm willing to be a little optimistic. I will give you that. I am optimistic that they are going to have a nice year, but I already see this injury with Senga, and those little nerves start to set in where I go, oh, my God, is this Edwin Diaz of a year ago? So I'll go a little bit halfway with you, Ev, on the optimism.
I'll tell you this right now about Senga being injured, if that's true, because the report you read is that he's feeling some soreness. Is that what they said?
Yes.
Well, fatigue or soreness?
So I have a 30-second clip from Mendy. We could maybe play it later where Tiki can interpret it. I have listened to it. Evan, you have not, and perhaps we could play the game. He gets asked about it or what's going on with him.
I'll tell you off the
Hello,
top.
Hello, Mindy.
I'll tell you off the top why this could be good news.
Oh.
Why?
No, I'm being dead serious. And I said this to you yesterday in passing. I said, why Scott Boras will win.
Oh, yeah.
Is that guys are going to get hurt.
Inevitably, somebody gets hurt.
And when pitchers get hurt, and I'm not rooting for it, but when guys get hurt, teams react. Jordan Montgomery makes sense for the New York Mets. He made sense for the Mets 3 months ago. He makes sense for the Mets today. And he makes sense for the Mets not just because he makes their rotation better this year, but because that's a nice, reliable arm to have for the next few years. You don't want to be reactionary, but if Kodai Senga really is going to miss time, that could move Steve Cohen and David Stearns, who I do not believe are punting this season, to say,
Right.
Maybe we should add Jordan Montgomery. And if that's the case, then my Ranger comparison is even better.
And you know what the Mets also have going for them? A lot of the players on the team are motivated. A lot of the players are playing for contracts. So you have a motivated locker room.
Let us go to Sonny and Malvern. Good to hear from you, Sonny. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good to hear from you.
What's up?
How are you?
Good, man.
Evan, I got to admit, very, very refreshing hearing your positive outtake on this. All during the football season, all I heard was negativity about the Jets, so it's good to hear your positive outlook. I hardly agree with you, but I agree with you. I like your perspective. I think there's no reason the Mets can't win 85 games. I don't understand people's perspective on this. Obviously, it's because of last year and because of their not being aggressive during the offseason.
Right.
But that core, they have a history of being great players, and there's no and that's extending to Marte, who's a big part of this. So there's no reason, if they continue their history, they can't be a solid team, Evan. So I thank you for being positive, and hopefully the Mets fans can be positive because
I want
to go to Citi Field. I want to see the Mets this summer.
I totally agree. I don't know if Tiki has formed an opinion quite yet about me, whether I'm negative or I'm positive. because whatever you say, I would disagree with. I don't think I'm negative or positive. Yeah. I think I just am what I am.
I think you're reactionary. When you see something that makes you positive, then you're positive. When you see something that makes you feel negative, you're negative. Right? You're kind of both. You know what I mean?
I am both because I'm not always positive. I'm not always negative. There have been nice seasons.
For Felice.
Where the hell did that come from?
What is it?
What is that? What's the point of playing that right now?
What a turncoat you are.
Jeez. Is because I'm wearing a headband that makes me look like Bryce Harper? Which is what the architect said to me today. Right. Our boss says, you look like Bryce Harper today. I was like, I don't want to hear that compliment. No, I'm reacting to how I feel. Now, I don't think this is reactionary because there's nothing from this offseason that would make me jump and say, wow, we're going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. It's more sitting back, looking at my team's roster, thinking about this season, thinking about last season, thinking about the National League, and thinking about baseball in 2024. And when I put it all together and I take the emotion of being disappointed from this offseason and I put it aside, I can say, wow, I think we could actually be pretty good. Because that's the issue Met fans are having. They can't compartmentalize. They can't compartmentalize.
No.
They can't carpament.
Say compartment.
Compartmentalize.
There you go.
Yeah, I got it.
All you
got
to do is say compartment.
They can't separate the two, which is, I'm disappointed in this offseason. Oh, wait, they actually can be good.
Yes.
Those two things can be true at the same time. David is in Whitestone. Good afternoon, David.
Yes. Hello, guys. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
Sometimes, Evan, I like you, Evan. Sometimes you drive me crazy. But today, today, I'm a believer. And, you know, but the reason why, you know, I'm always very optimistic going into a season. I always try to be, no matter what. Yeah, I've been a Met fan since, you know, I've seen Seaver pitch back in the day, you know. But when it comes to what the Mets have, first of all, nobody's talking about Alvarez right now, who I think can call a great game. And I think he could be probably the bopper behind Alonso eventually. Yeah. Where if he can continue that strong stroke he has, sending it over the wall, I think that's a big piece. And also, I like what Tiki said about the bullpen he brought up last year, that they didn't give up a lot of leads. So, and I think you only improve on that when you get Diaz back right here.
Of course.
So I think you have a lot of positive things going into the year.
Well, the Mets have a chance. Here's the thing, Dave, and I think this is the other thing that's weird. The Mets' menu to success in 2024 is very different than what it was in 2022. And that's odd, because I think in 2022, when you looked at why and how they were successful, you saw a lineup that was top five, but you also saw a really good starting pitching staff. That's not the only formula to being good in 2024. If the Mets score a lot of runs, which I think they have a chance to do, and they have a really good bullpen, which I think they have a chance to really have, you can be good with an average rotation. In fact, why don't we play the Ranger game again, since the Rangers are so much fun? And I don't mean the hockey team, who had a great night last night. I give them a lot of credit for bouncing back after their Stanley Cup win and the parade and all the celebrations.
Fat.
And they beat a good hockey team last night, so I commend the Rangers. But last year, the Texas Rangers team ERA was very average. Very average. They did not have a top five rotation. Mm-hmm. They did not have a top five ERA. That's not what they were. What they were is they scored a lot of runs. So I think it's weird, especially as Met fans, based on what you thought of the last few years, and even their history, the history of having Doc and Tom Seaver and having these top rotations, they could be good without having a top rotation. Right.
Just be able to score runs. And if Starling Marte is healthy, and if some of these young players hit, or Francisco Alvarez takes the proverbial next step, then they'll score runs.
Yes.
They just got to get healthy, or stay healthy, I should say.
Mike is in Elmont, New York. How are you, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? Evan, you're the voice of reason today. Thank you for that monologue.
Thank you.
It was great to hear. Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you say. And Tiki, you're right. Mets fans, they have lower expectations, and it's better for us. Real Mets fans know that we're the little brother. We have to play that role. And,
right. It's
you
like
know,
you're scarred a little bit. Right. It's like you're scarred a little
man.
Bit.
Yeah, I'm scarred. I've seen, man, 2007 really scarred me. All those 2006, 2007, 2008. Oh my God. Anyways, you know, we have young talent, and like the other caller said, I'm like, Alvarez is the X factor this year for me. But I mean, I expect him to hit, but really, I think his defense is going to be, and his leadership, like, I think it's, I really think he's a sleeper.
Yes.
I really, really think, I think he could be an all-star this year, put it that way. I think he has potential for that.
I think that when you are a good team in baseball, and I remember saying this about the Yankees last season coming in, and about the Mets coming in, and it obviously didn't work on both ends. One of the keys, and it's really boring to talk about sometimes, is you need your young players to actually be good.
Mm-hmm.
The Texas Rangers got that last year. The Arizona Diamondbacks got that last year. So look, if you're going to tell me, hey, Evan, Brett Beatty sucks, Mark Vientos stinks, Drew Gilbert's not really any good because I scouted him down in the minor leagues, Luis Angel Acuna's never going to get up here, Jet Williams is too tiny, and all those guys aren't going to perform, then you're right. The Mets won't be good. But their young players performing?
Yeah.
That's why teams excel. That's how a big part of why Texas went from 65 wins to a world championship.
Well, eventually you have to have that because you can't just keep buying veteran talent.
Right.
You just can't do it.
Or you can, but you need to do the mix like Texas did.
Yes.
They had the mix.
Right. And if you don't, it's not ever going to be sustainable. Right. You can't do it on veteran deals and then because you get 1 year and then who knows what's going to happen. For instance, Starling Marte. He's 35 years old.
Right.
Right. How much longer is he going to be even viable?
Right.
I hope because he's a great looking athlete that it's longer than say most people, but you just never know. Right. And so you have to have these young guys come up.
The thing the Mets can't do, and this pissed me off last year and a lot of Met fans last year, is that Billy Epler was so afraid to call up his young players. It took forever for them to call up their young players. In 2024, they can't do that. Like, I haven't mentioned Harrison Bader's name. Harrison Bader is a fourth outfielder. And while I appreciate Harrison Bader's loyalty to our show, clearly he's growing that red beard out of loyalty to me and Pete Alonso. And I appreciate that. I want to say to the master himself, thank you very much for that loyalty. But the truth is, the master's a fourth outfielder. And we know that. And that's okay, by the way. There's nothing bad about that. He's going to start the year in center field. He's going to glide around making great plays in center. He'll probably get hurt. He's probably not going to hit a lot. His mouthpiece is going to distract us. And then at the right time, you got to call up Drew Gilbert. You got to call up Jet Williams. You got to call the kids up because for me to be right that the Mets are going to surprise everybody and be a good baseball team, those young players that are top 100 prospects have to come up and they got to perform.
I think what gives you hope that that's actually going to happen is the fact that David Stearns is your general manager. Because that's what David Stearns has been forced to do in his previous stops because they're small market. He can't buy the veteran. He has to hope that they develop these young kids and bring them up. He has to.
Let's go to Steve in Newark, New Jersey. What's up, Steve?
Evan, I mean, my ears are bleeding from what you're saying today. You are so delusional. You pick anything, just sound positive. It's the same old, it's you and the whole Jets thing all year. Aaron Rodgers went down. Positive, positive, positive. They're going to make the playoffs. Going to make the playoffs. When everybody knew they weren't going anywhere. Even Sal. Sal waved the white flag last week. Mr. SNY himself waved the white flag. Like, dude, the Mets are going nowhere.
That's stupid, though. You think it's smart to give up?
Verlander last year.
You think it's smart to give up? How can you give up now?
And you guys thought you went to the World Series.
Are you?
What happened with that?
Are you a Mets fan by chance?
And you guys have literally nobody.
Are you a Met fan by chance?
I am a Yankee fan.
Oh, gee, okay. Well, guess what? I appreciate your opinion. I do. But don't tell me to wave the white flag. Why would I do that?
Your opinion, Evan, well, just one more thing before you
go ahead. That's fine.
Suck it.
That's fine. I understand the Yankee fan wants to laugh at me. That's okay. Look, here's what's funny. Our first caller of the day said I was too negative about the Jets. Now you're telling me I was too positive about the Jets.
About the Jets during the season.
I wasn't positive about the Jets during the season. Here's what
the
I
Jets
was.
Jets are winning, no problem.
I was excited about their first win after Aaron Rodgers got hurt. That's what you hold against me. But after that, I said over and over again, Zach Wilson stinks. I thought this defense would be able to overcome it and they could win 8 or 9 or 10 games and sneak into the playoffs. But is that really being super confident? So I'm calling it like it is. There have been many Met seasons I've gone into thinking this team stinks and we've got no chance. I don't feel that way. And just because other Met fans are going to give up and other Met fans don't think they're any good, is that going to change how I feel? I think that Met fans are beaten. They're beaten by what happened last year, and they're beaten by what I admit was a disappointing offseason. And so they can't get past those two things. I'm able to because I realize that a lot of times one thing doesn't lead to the other. 2015, like I said, is a great example, Teak. They added Michael Kadire, and they won the pennant. Ask yourself how they did it. Ask yourself, well, Evan, how'd they win the pennant? I'm going to tell you how they won the pennant. Their young players performed.
Right.
And they made a massive trade on July 31st. That's how the Mets won the pennant. Their young guys performed, and they made an incredibly impactful trade on July 31st. Can those two things I just described happen to the New York Mets in 2024?
Of course. Of course. They better.
Well, they better. I'm going to be pissed off.
But I think the perception from a lot of Met fans is that they are punting on the season. That's a word you'll hear and have heard.
Okay, perception isn't reality.
Sometimes it is.
But you can continue to say something over and over again, and you can say it in an echo chamber and have people repeat it. That doesn't mean it's true. You know what I mean? Like, again, you can say something over and over again and have it like, see, they're doing that.
Right.
It doesn't make it reality.
I hear you, Ev, but I remember about a month or two ago you said, well, based on the moves they've made this offseason, they're going to add another bat. So far, G-Man Choi, Luke Voigt, they haven't added that bat.
I wanted them to add another bat.
And
what have I said that they haven't done the things I wanted?
If you're going with the punting perception, you'd be more on the right side now than the side of the optimism. Well, now, that can change over the next couple weeks.
So let me respond to the dumbest thing I've heard on Sports Talk Radio, which is the Mets are punting. Let me respond to that. Just get it out of the way. Why would you spend so much money in one season on one-year deals if you were punting? Like, if you were punting, you know what you would do? You would say, I'm not going to sign Luis Severino. I'm just going to put Tyler McGill in the rotation. I'm not going to sign Sean Manaea and pay him $12, $13 million. I'm just going to put Jose Budo in the rotation. Like, if you're going to punt, you're just not going to spend any kind of money. Why would you spend that money when you've already had a huge payroll? Like, that doesn't... It's a contradiction. But again, when you repeat something over and over again and people just repeat it and agree with you, we all think that we're saying something that's true when it's not true.
The only reason it makes sense is because you're not committing. You're not punting, but you're not committing as well.
Okay, that's fine.
They're two different things.
Yes.
But they kind of come across as the same.
How about this?
But they're not.
No, they're not.
Like, you don't drop $30 million on starting pitching and punt. That doesn't make any sense.
They are trying to win games. There's no doubt about that. They're not racing to the bottom before the season ever starts. Some teams do that.
Correct.
The Mets are not doing that.
It shows you how locked in our bubble we are. If you think the Mets are punting, you don't pay attention to baseball because you don't see real teams that punt. I'll show you real teams that punt.
What about?
I'm going to show you them. It's going to bore everybody to that, so I'm not going to do it. But if you think the Mets are punting, pay attention to real baseball teams that punt.
About this football analogy? It's 3rd and 15. Instead of doing a draw or throwing it deep, they're throwing a screen pass. If we get the first down, great.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's how the Mets are treating this.
That's
if
fine.
We win
that
this year,
is what it
great.
Feels like.
So we're not punting. We're throwing a screen pass. If you can break a couple
that's
tackles,
fine.
Great.
I don't mind that analogy.
They're not punting. They're screening.
Okay, but you started by saying they were punting. So I'm telling you how stupid
that is.
He said Met fans think that they are.
Okay,
punting.
I'm telling you that. That's a stupid point. That's all I'm telling you.
Well, we don't call people stupid.
It's a stupid point. Not that they're stupid. I didn't say they're stupid. I said it's a stupid point.
You call people fat, now you call people stupid. Now we got to apologize to all the stupid people.
That's a lot of. I can apologize to myself sometimes. Why are we using football analogies now to describe everything that happens in baseball?
Yeah. People like people don't understand baseball. This is New York. This is one place where I thought everybody understood baseball.
We used to be in a world in which we would use baseball analogies to describe everything.
Yes.
Like, hey, how come Breece Hall only had 6 touches? Well, he's on a pitch count. A pitch count? We're talking baseball. We'll come right back and get back to your calls. 877-337-6666. That is the toll-free telephone number. And also, the New York Yankees are facing a major, major question. It'll be like the irresistible force versus the immovable object when it comes to Juan Soto and Aaron Boone. I'll explain it a little bit later. Plus, we got a lot of football to get to as well. Evan and Tiki on a very busy Wednesday.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.